We didn't do anything wrong, but the stay home, stay safe orders feel a bit like house arrest for some people, and the lack of activity and being cooped up with other people, even people we love, can get on the nerves. Let's talk about how to deal with those nerves with someone who knows the human mind and its capabilities. Dr. Jan Jacobs is an Ashland psychologist. We asked her out to talk about maintaining healthy thinking through a stressful time. Dr. Jacobs, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're most welcome.
How long have you been practicing?
Oh, gosh. 30 years.
Okay.
31 years at this point, yeah.
All right. Just so nobody thinks you got into this in the last 5 minutes or something. Okay.
No.
Right. So you've counseled people, I assume, who've been through some major life disruptions, things like natural disasters even?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But this one is different, isn't it?
It's affecting
all of us. And it's something that no one in this country in the last, 100 years has experienced. So this is different.
Well, you know, people don't heal from the traumas they've experienced right away, you know, particularly in something like a natural disaster. It does take a while for people to get back on their feet. You know, they don't have a sure date by which everything is quote-unquote fixed. So is there something of a template to work with here?
Absolutely. That's a very insightful reflection about it. We have lots of situations in our lives where we don't know how long it's going to last, and we have to figure out a way to maintain ourselves. And people find ways to do that. And this is different. Again, it's happening to everyone, and I think in some ways that's comforting for people to know that they are not alone in their experience. And it's different in that we have to figure out ways to be with our loved ones in a positive way as well, and the people around us. Yeah.
Is there some solace in knowing that pretty much everyone is going through the same thing at the same time?
There is. I think there absolutely is. There's solace, and there's also, I think, creativity, because people are coming together and utilizing technology and community to try to take care of one another. People have been hearing from people they hadn't heard from in a long time, reaching out to people that they have been meaning to connect with but haven't in a long time. And I think those are positive things that are really helpful in this kind of a time.
Have you maintained, I don't know what your schedule was like for counseling and or coaching sessions, but has that fallen pretty slack since the shutdown?
Absolutely not. I and almost every therapist that I know of has gone onto a virtual platform. There are HIPAA-compliant, secure platforms for telehealth and telemedicine, and I have maintained my schedule. Although a video session is certainly not optimal, it is so much better than the telephone and extremely better. It's much better than nothing. And although some of the people that I see have had some initial hesitance about it, once we get through a first session, everyone says, oh, this was better than I thought it would be. And I think there's a tremendous amount of gratitude that there is a way to continue to have therapy, even in our shelter-in-place situation. Therapists are available and continuing to see people, although not face-to-face.
It's interesting you mentioned the HIPAA-compliant. I assume that means not social media-based?
No, not social media-based. The site that I use is called doxy.me, but there are other sites, and even Zoom has a version that is HIPAA compliant. So there are different platforms for therapists to utilize in order to have the ability to see people and have people know that it is secure.
secure and their privacy will be protected. That's the big thing. That's the P in the HIPAA, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting interesting thing you have to deal with there, but it certainly makes sense. But, you know, it brings to mind, too, the fact that, as you mentioned, people connecting with people they might not have talked to for a while, that televisits are not just good for therapists to be able to see their clients, but also for each of us to visit with each other. In fact, let me give you an example. We used Zoom for this, so it wasn't HIPAA compliant, but the next-door neighbors had a birthday party for their 12-year-old yesterday, and there were something like 26 people on screen in Zoom in 16 different frames.
Absolutely. You can do a game night via Zoom. You can. There's an app. There are apps for parties. There are all kinds of things to do, and I think it's a really important way to stay connected.
Which I guess is one of the major points again here is that, it's not just about Netflix and chill. I mean, the fact is there are other people who are also in here. The fact is that we're supposed to stay apart physically, but there's nothing that says we can't talk to each other all day, all night.
That's true. But when you say all day, all night, one thing that I would talk about in terms of maintaining our mental health is that I think structure is important. And any parent that's home with children right now probably is trying to figure out a way or has figured out a way to put a little bit of structure in the course of their day. And I think that's helpful for us as well. If you've been going to work and now you're home, everything is turned upside down. And I think it's helpful for folks to really focus on trying to take care of themselves and getting outside 6 feet apart from anybody, except perhaps your loved one that you're in the house with anyway, and getting some fresh air, getting some exercise. And one way to support yourself in creating structure and have a way to connect is if you are wanting to do something on a consistent basis and you're struggling to do that, say you do want to exercise regularly, but that's a challenge, that would be a new habit, you could connect with a friend who is also trying to create a new structure or a new habit, and you can hold each other accountable. You can have a buddy system where you check in with each other regularly about what you're doing and how well you're doing with it. And I think that that's a way to help you get better care, better self-care, and a way for you to also be able to connect with somebody that you care about and support that person.
The idea of structure comes through loud and clear. I know that I'm one of the lucky ones, and that I'm still at the job, and I have to be here physically twice a day. So there's the going to the office thing that still hits, and I obviously got to hit some time posts because it's a radio station. So there's all of that structure. But I can just imagine that if your job is not going on right now, you're home. There are all these other people who aren't normally home. When you're home, that sort of thing, it gets to be a bit of a jumble for some people.
Discombobulation is a word I've been hearing a lot. absolutely. Almost everybody's routines are completely changed.
We are talking to Jan Jacobs, an Ashland psychologist here on the Jefferson Exchange, about ways to stay healthy in our minds as we go through an unprecedented period in our lives. You can join the conversation here on the Jefferson Exchange. Share a story with us about ways in which you have found things that help you to cope. 800-838-3760 is the phone number here. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I know we were talking yesterday in our regular monthly media segment about just a number of issues in the media, of which there is plenty right now and lots to talk about with the coverage of coronavirus. What are your recommendations as far as people staying in tune with the news? It gets rather addictive. I find myself looking at the numbers all day long myself, but not so much other media. But what do you think about the people who are staying home all day with the cable TV just blaring away?
Yeah, I highly recommend against it, actually. It's fine to stay informed, but in order to stay informed, you really only need to sort of check a reliable news source once a day. I think that especially for people who are experiencing a lot of anxiety related to this pandemic, I think it's helpful to put yourself on a news diet. And for some people, they actually need to put themselves on a news fast. A way to think about managing anxiety around this is this helping me or not? Is this activity helpful? Is it decreasing my anxiety or is it increasing my anxiety? And even, is this thought a helpful thought, or is it an unhelpful thought? And I'm not talking about, are you thinking something that's true or something that's false? I'm really talking about trying to identify whether the thoughts that are occupying your mind are helping you feel better or not. And this, we're in this perhaps for, you know, we know for an indefinite amount of time. And I think it's a great practice to try to notice if what you're thinking about is helpful. And if it's not helpful, to try to focus on what's important. What you could try to focus on what you're grateful for. Gratitude is an extremely powerful psychological tool. It really helps us to feel better if we focus on what we are grateful for. So as you go through your day, if you're finding yourself preoccupied and wanting to take in a lot of news and information, it's a way for us to try to feel in control. And if it actually is helping with that, then that could be a positive thing. But I think more likely the news that's coming in to in right now is scary and dire in some situations, and it's not helpful, right? So what it's important to identify what we do have control over, and to notice that we are in fact exercising control. So we have control over maintaining our social distance. We have control over how well we wash our hands. We have control over what structure we try to put into our lives. We don't have control over what's happening in the parts of the country where we may have loved ones who are facing a much higher risk at this moment of exposure to coronavirus. But it's not helpful to focus on the things that we don't have control over.
I went looking for some other lists of suggestions and ended up at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention website. And that was the first thing, is separate what is in your control from what is not. And the exact same things you're talking about. Wash your hands, remind others to wash theirs, take your vitamins, and limit your consumption of news. So that's a big one. I mean, and I think the question people probably need to ask themselves is, why do you need to know this? How does it help you?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If it's not helpful, then you can safely eliminate it.
So what kinds of other things do you recommend for people, just sort of as part of the daily routine, to include if they're dealing with spending extended time periods at home, which they probably haven't done in a long time?
Yeah, it's a great time to try to learn something new, and that's we have lots of resources for online courses for those who are used to going to the gym to get some exercise. I've just learned about a website for free yoga classes. It's called Do Yoga With Me. I think it's a great opportunity if you do in fact have more time on your hands to pick up something new. If you're home with children, you may not have as much time, and so you're focusing on how to create structure for them, and as the spring break week ends, going into whatever remote learning kinds of situations are coming up. So focusing on them is obviously going to be taking up a lot of time and energy if you have young children at home. So staying connected, trying to maintain a structure, getting exercise, possibly going back and learning how to knit or playing an instrument, taking the guitar out of the closet, all of the things that we say, oh, when I have time, I'll get to that. The other piece is our physical environment, trying to maintain as much control over our spaces, right? So making sure that we are in an environment, our homes make us feel calmer and more orderly is another place to try to put some time and attention. People are doing a lot of cleaning, spring cleaning. Mm-hmm. Luckily, the weather is getting warmer, the days are getting longer, and if you have access to yard work, it can be pretty therapeutic to get out there in the dirt for some people. So trying to identify that reading, you know, people can read online. Obviously, the libraries are closed, but they have media as well, audio books and things like that people can enjoy.
I noticed just yesterday some stories were making the rounds about book sales rising as people are finally going to read those novels they meant to read for the last 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Reading Ulysses, for example, that could take you a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh, could. yeah, and maybe trying to read some uplifting things, perhaps, would be helpful.
So let's talk about the I don't know, the personal pep rally part of psychology in essentially lockdown here. I mean, are there things other than you were just talking about, you know, a number of things to do there, but how about things that are specifically designed to make people feel happier? I mean, diversions, watching TV, you know, dance parties online. You know, what do you think there?
I think an online dance party sounds like a great idea. And I know that there are groups of musicians who are jamming together online as well. And I think that's a great idea. I have to say, exercise that gets your heart rate up is, at least, you know, if you can sustain getting your heart rate up for about 40 minutes, that is a great antidepressant. That is one of the most powerful antidepressants. It gets our endorphins up, and I think if you can make that a keystone, if you have the physical capability to do that, I think that would be helpful. Sitting in front of a television for hours on end is soporific, right? It actually can make you feel worse,
mm-hmm.
and so. Streaming a happy or funny movie, I think, is a great idea, but maybe trying to limit your time in front of a screen, a passive time in front of a screen, to perhaps, you know, at the end of the day, might be more helpful than spending a lot of time catching up on all the shows that you have missed. Maybe there's some space for that, and maybe that's part of your structure. You let yourself do that on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when every day is the same, it's kind of hard to distinguish weekdays from weekend. And if you can find a way to do that for yourself, then I think that can help maintain some semblance of quote-unquote normality for people.
Dr. Jan Jacobs, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, an Ashland psychologist. You can join the conversation on the exchange, share a story, ask a question about things going on in your mind at this extreme time in history. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I tread carefully into the zone of physical health because I know it's not what you do, but the concerns about physical health can get rather extreme, I would think. I know I've talked to other people at work or, you know, every time there's a bit of a throat tickle or an extra sneeze, it's like, oh no, is this it? You know, so how do you counsel people to deal with the things that just happen, particularly at a time when there's so much pollen in the air?
Right. So I think that for those of us who live in more rural areas where there is, in fact, more the active cases that we know about of coronavirus are fairly rare, I think it's helpful. To think, well, what's most likely? What's most likely is it is an allergy, right? What's most likely is it could be the flu. There is apparently a lot of flu going around. I know that our health professionals have, in fact, been seeing over the last couple of weeks a fair amount of respiratory distress, have been having people tested, and people that even the health professionals thought might have coronavirus, it's coming back negative. So to remind yourself that it's most likely a very benign something, and to operate from that perspective. I think I do want to mention a couple of things about people who are having trouble managing their anxiety. There are hotlines that you can call, and for instance, in Jackson County, the Jackson County Mental Health Crisis Line is available. It's being staffed 24/7, and my guess is that other counties have also their crisis lines being staffed because this is a high stress and high anxiety time. I think it's also helpful to remind yourself that for almost everybody, that people survive the coronavirus, and that if you are, certainly if you are in a vulnerable population, then you have more reason to be concerned if you should start feeling symptomatic. But I would really let yourself allow for the idea that you may feel better in a few hours. And if something's going on and you're not feeling better in a few hours, if you're feeling worse in a few hours and you're concerned, you can call your doctors. Doctors are doing telehealth as well. But I think it's important to acknowledge that the most likely thing right now for most of us is that we are, in fact, dealing with perhaps an allergy or something benign.
All right. And it sounds like a big thing to remember for a lot of people is that we don't know when the restrictions will be lifted. We don't know when anybody's going to give anything that resembles an all clear. So it sounds like the best bet is just to make sure you know what the things that you have to do by certain times. And as you may have said, maintain structure in your life.
Yeah.
So let me give a couple of numbers here, because you mentioned the crisis hotline for Jackson County, and this is the call anytime number just for Jackson County, 541-774-8201, 541-774-8201. And then the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, if anybody's thinking those kinds of thoughts, 800-273-8255, 800-273-TALK, 800-273-8255 if you're feeling seriously down and need to talk to somebody about that. That's the way to do it. And as we've talked about many times with mental health professionals in the past, you don't make people commit suicide by asking them if they're thinking about it.
Absolutely not. I think it's often a relief for people to be asked. And if somebody is expressing that level of depression, please urge them to either call those hotlines or contact a therapist. We are still in business. We have not shut down, thanks to technology.
Okay, lots to talk about, and we'll talk about you again sometime, I hope. Jen Jacobs, an Ashland psychologist, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about coping strategies while we're in lockdown.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Good to have you. That will do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. A couple things coming up in hour number two. We'll talk about those at the top of the hour.